Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, CPS is on the case on B&B, Clyde is caught on Days, Diane is attacked on GH, and Trevor St. John debuts on Y&R. Stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
What?
Josh,
I got a text
from you this week about B&B, Steffi, Taylor, Ridge, and Brooke. But before we get to that, what did you think of all the child drama that took place with CPS?
You mean
CPS?
The CPS drama, the child drama? Like, you mean what that are we, Little House on the Prairie?
Bullshit that they, oh, Walter used to work at Forrester. Let's call him 5 seconds later. Hi, it's Walter. What can I do for you? Oh, you're from social services. Beep, beep, beep. Let me look up on your phone. And it's like, you know, they played the message out loud and it's like, Brooke has a robot voice. This is not Brooke. Somebody's using a voice modulator.
I mean, I'll tell y'all who it is. Stupid. I can tell y'all who called CPS.
Thomas, right?
No, it wasn't Thomas.
I assume it was Thomas who called on
it. It was not Thomas. It was me, because I wanted to be rescued from the and watching this bullshit on TV. More than likely, it's Thomas. Wah, wah. This storyline is just like, Brad won't go there with this kid because all the things, see, I'm so pissed off that they can't, like, Rena Sofa pretty much scorched the earth. And, you know, people petty be petty. When people scorch the earth, they're going to be like, I'm bringing her back. I wish they could bring her back because I would want all the sins of Thomas to come out. I would want when Quinn gave her booze, somehow that comes out and Thomas did not say anything. I would love for it to come out that Thomas knew that Sheila derailed Brooke's sobriety and he said nothing. I want the child, you know, this to come out, CPS, what he did with Hope and what he did with
Emma.
Emma come out. But it's like Brad will just take it, like the writers will just go right to the line of where you think Thomas is batshit and everybody's gonna see it, but then they reel it back. It's okay for you to have a bad guy on here. It's okay to have an anti-villain on here, an anti-hero on here. You know what I'm saying? Not the anti-villain. It's okay to have an anti-hero on here. That's Thomas. I want them to delve. They have so much rich history and they won't go there. I want for when it all to come out, for Brooke to bring up this boy did what to Rick and how Ridge, you know, would go after Rick, but he would always cover and cut for Thomas. I want them to go there. I want people to say, Taylor, your medical license should be taken away because you've been practicing. Your son has been seeing you as a therapist. That's a conflict. And you clearly know something is wrong with your kid, but you won't say anything because he's your son. I want them to go there. Like, it would be such good drama instead of this childish, these fucking 40-year-old kids trying to bring their 70-year-old parents together. It's like, knock it off.
So let me ask you guys something real quick. Do you think that Thomas should be patterned after Adam on The Young and the Restless? Because Adam has done some crazy shit back in the day. But they've also figured out also figured out a way to make him a threat in a normal context, while also having tinges of he could go off if necessary.
That's
Rick. I mean, I think they, you know, they try. They don't know. Like sometimes it's like that damn commercial. I don't see it on TV no more. They even still make the Mounds bars.
Liberty, liberty, liberty. Sorry.
No. Sometimes he feels like a nut and sometimes he don't. Like, that's how Brad and them feel sometimes, Thomas. You know, depending on what the writer's agenda is, when you want Ridge with Taylor and her gang, it's, you know, they sweep everything under the rug and it's the Forresters versus the Logans. And then when you want Ridge with Brooke, it's these kids are so bad. Like, go there. He has two families. You know, Rick, RJ should, you know, is caught in the middle. RJ should be front and center too, where he rips his brother a new ass and tells Steffi about hers. But, you know, it's something should be there. We should have better conflict than this convoluted shit. But, they just won't go there with it. This show used to go there. I don't know why they treat us like we can't handle it. And they treat their viewers as if they're stupid, like we don't remember
the
shenanigans that Thomas did. We do remember. The internet is forever, y'all. And so are y'all clips and episodes and catalogs on Paramount and then on the YouTube.
Speaking of Steffi and Ridge and Taylor, I got a text from Josh this week. It was Steffi to Taylor. Let's go to Aspen. Steffi to Ridge. I don't know why, but my mom wants to go out of town. Josh to his TV. Die! There were more frustrated.
Message. Luke, stop telling the tea.
There were more frustrated texts from Josh this week regarding Taylor, Ridge, Steffi, Thomas, and Brooke.
This is why I don't text Luke, because Luke just be dry.
What did you think, Josh?
I think that I'm going to piggyback on Jillian for a second, because I think there's enough drama there that they're just making shit up. Brooke never cheated with Ridge on Taylor. Brooke did not break up Taylor's marriage. That just didn't happen. And so, like, I don't understand why we have to just blatantly make shit up when there's so much good history. It's there already. But that didn't happen.
See, you need Ridge to finally put his foot down and say, enough. Your mother needs to tell you the truth. I did this.
Yep.
It wasn't Brooke. It was me. Stop blaming her. And for Bridge to say, you know what? I have just allowed you to paint this narrative so that I didn't look like the bad guy in my kids' eyes, but it's gone too far. Like, something needs to happen for Ridge to say enough. But they won't go there because, once again, whatever agenda the writers have, they want us to forget. They try to, I used to joke on this podcast when I used to say, like, when Bob Guzzo came back to GH after Megan McTravesty terrorized that show for a year. When Guzzo pretended like a whole bunch of shit, it never happened. And I was like, shows should be like, it never happened. I did not mean for you to do that, Brad.
Mm-mm.
I didn't mean for y'all to do that. Like, act like your history never happened. Your history did. The drama needs to go there. Like, I need for all of that to come out and for Steffi to look like a huge ass. I need for Hope to light her ass up and talk about, they need to bring up how she was with both Spencer brothers and the daddy. For Steffi to be talking cash money shit about Brooke, and for her to be like, are you talking about my mother? Who else am I talking about? Are you not talking about you? Excuse me? Let's talk about you messing with Liam, who was my man first, bitch. Let's talk about how you, before Liam, you were trying to seduce Bill. And for Finn to be like, wait, what now? Say what now? Yeah, she didn't tell you. And for her to be like, Hope, and for Hope to just air her sins out. And for Finn to be like, what the hell? And I want Lee to be there and be like, and you wonder why I kept my son.
Trash.
I don't understand why they don't want to air the history out, because they have such rich, good history. They pull a portion out when, again, what? They have an agenda. So we see that Torsten and Chris Allen have good chemistry. Heather Tom, I forgot to blog it. Bitch, life has been very busy for Jillian. Anyways, in the interview, she did an interview with this Australian outfit. That's probably why I didn't blog. But they asked her, where you been, girl? Like, and some of her dad just picked it up. And I think Quicksilver blogged that. But she did the interview. And they asked her, both publications somehow asked her, where you been, girl? Is Katie still with us? What's happening? What's tea? And she talked about, what did I say, Dynasty. And she says that, you know, she don't want to be tied down. So, you know, with all of that going on, like, just do something with it, Bold. Like,
well,
I don't get it.
Someone who is afraid of having their dirty laundry aired out is Diane on The Young and the Restless, who is a bit nervous because Trevor St. John debuted this last week looking good as always. What did you guys think of how his character impacted Diane? Josh?
Drop a tea on who the character is. No, we ain't gonna do that. We gonna let y'all be surprised.
Well, I thought the room lit up when Susan Walters and Trevor St. John were together. I just
so much chemistry.
Immediate chemistry. And so I'm excited to see where this is gonna go. I'm glad to have TSJ back on the screen because he's just amazing. But again, we've had a week of me thinking the writers are writing this where we're supposed to be rooting for Nikki and Phyllis, and I got nothing for either of them in terms of this thing with Diane. I don't get it. They just look like idiots running around trying to destroy this person as if she's Stefano Dam Demera.
I get it for Nikki.
Yes, Nikki, I understand.
Phyllis is a little different.
Nikki, because remember, Kyle kind of terrorized her also, and they also scared of history too, because I would have Kyle being like, leave my mom alone, and for her to light into Kyle's ass and be like, did you forget your mother framed me for her supposed death?
Right.
And the shit that you pulled on me, little boy?
Right.
And for Kyle to be a little sheepish, and for Kyle to be like, 10-4, Nikki, I'ma stand down. Like, Nikki, I get. This is just, they're just trying to give something for Michelle Stafford to put her chops in because, you know,
it's not working for me.
Her fighting Summer's battle was stupid. You know what? It could have worked if Phyllis and Jack were together and Diane, like, you know, instead of Jack being upset, oh, you told her we slept together. I'm like, that part, I'm still blown about that because I'm like, men do this all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know this wasn't a lesson that Weiner was trying to teach us, like, men and do it and you get upset women, so we're gonna do the reverse. No, I know that wasn't y'all lesson. Y'all weren't teaching that lesson, but I just wanted them to still have Jack with Phyllis, and then that's how you have Diane inserting herself with Jack. Like, you know, she's using Kyle and it just starts to unravel the whole, you told her that we slept together, and he got all, I was like, get the fuck out of here. It's stupid. It's just stupid.
Mm-hmm. I still just, I mean, I just root for Diane every time. Every time Phyllis goes.
I'm like, you know.
My issue is that they have connected Phyllis and Nikki. Yeah. And again, they're treating her like she's Stefano Demera. Like there are more people afraid of and wanting to get rid of Diane on The Young and the Restless than anybody is scared of supposedly the scariest man in the world, Victor, on General Hospital. Ain't nobody over there scared of him like everybody over here wants Diane gone. It don't make any sense to me. I know it's comparing shows, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's apples and oranges.
I know, it just bugs me. I just don't get it.
No. It's apples and oranges because Victor is Victor. Like, I get Dickie's motivation. Phyllis is just like, meh. You know, so I'm just like, you know, it's kind of like a draw.
I don't know. To me, it's just, I just can't get over this overreaction. They're traveling all over the world, and Diane just sitting there like, okay, I'm trying.
And I'm trying to figure out what would be such a big secret that Diane would be so worried.
Like, I think they're married. I don't know why I think they're married, but I think they're married.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know. Or maybe she stole, or, you know, maybe this person that Trevor is playing, wink, wink, nudge, is using her to, well, depending on when this child, fuck it, when Tucker, we know he's Tucker, depending on when Luke brings it up. Luke may put it up on a Friday, and y'all know he's Tucker. Shit. Tucker, you know, I don't know, maybe Tucker is using her to get insider trading or something. I don't know.
I don't know, but didn't Tucker didn't Tucker leave on bad terms? Like nobody was happy with Tucker.
If I'm not mistaken,
they're trying to usher her job was to get back in Genoa City and then they would usher him in or something. I don't know. I'm just wondering if
I don't know, child. Maybe Tucker, she's supposed to, like, give him insider trading information.
But wouldn't that make more sense if she was actually involved in the insider trading storyline that has to do with the other company going public?
Maybe he wants a, you could keep trying to clip, maybe he wants insider trading into Jabot also. You could have your hand in many pots here, and Tucker, you know, that's what they originally had Tucker trying to be back in the Gap, but, you know.
Yeah, interesting. He has the same birthday as Jill, right?
That's all we're going to say about that. I don't know who should be offended or who should be like, oh, okay.
I just don't know how they're going to play. They're going to have to forget that.
Michelle Morgan announced this last week that she's going on recurring with The Young and the Restless, so we will be seeing a little bit less of her. If I was her, considering how her character had been used, and if I wanted to explore other opportunities, recurring would be a nice way to do so.
Well, that's not only it. You know, her husband's side of the family had a huge tragedy. He lost his brother, his sister-in-law, and their kids in a house fire. I totally get that, you know. With that, coupled with how the show is, I totally get why. I don't know anything, but I just do remember that happening. So, and you know, she alluded to a whole lot of things that happened. So I can get it. I get it. So, you know, shout out to her and the best of luck to her.
Adam found out about Nick and I was going to say Chelsea, and it's not Chelsea. And Nick and Sally. Josh, what did you think?
I don't really care about that. I think I like Nick and Chelsea. Nick and Chelsea. Damn it!
I
did it too. Nick and Sally, if they're like having the sex because they have wild sexual chemistry, but otherwise, I just think Nick's a big dumb boy, and I'm not even sure why he's at Newman. It doesn't make any sense to me. I like Adam versus Nicholas. Yeah. I like the idea of Adam versus Nicholas.
Speaking of Chelsea, though, Jillian. I was actually sort of impressed by Chelsea's maturity this last week as everything went down with her boy. What'd you think?
I do like the fallout from it. It is like, you know, Adam did ask the question, why all of a sudden you want this boy to know, or like, what's motivating you? So I do want to see how this connects.
Talking about things that they're not going to use, Victoria ought to drag her into court and say, you know how he was conceived? You raped him.
That will never be used.
Right. So Chelsea really does not have, she can't like demand anything from them really. So, but this is going to be, I'm interested in seeing how this plays out. Nick versus Adam. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic with that. They had a quiet truce. Nick has been defending him. I wish Adam knew that, because Adam just thinks, oh, this is just revenge. Da, 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 da. I wish Adam knew that Nick was the one who was like, screwing Adam over Victoria. Like, why are you doing this? Like, he should be at the company too. Like, you're being pet. I wish Adam knew that aspect. I don't understand why these shows leave out key pertinent information. I'm gonna see how this plays out. You know, clearly Sally is in love with Adam. She still is, but Nick is that itch she can't help but scratch, baby. So
last week's episode, Josh, we talked about Clyde, EJ shooting him. Sadly, he's not dead. What did you think of the big revelation and the fallout as it rippled through Salem?
I thought the fallout was great. The umbrella storyline, so it was touching everybody. Jennifer Rose up on those pills, got behind the wheel of a car.
That girl, Jennifer Rose.
I'm sorry, she Jennifer Rose. That's what I grew up with. That's how I.
We know that's how government, but that is what you like to call her. Nobody else does it. I'm like, here you go.
I know, I can't help it. She got behind the wheel of that car. I thought Katie McClain acting against a silent Marcy Miller was stunning. She said, "I'm coming for that Emmy. Y'all gonna put me in lead." Mm-hmm. So she just—I thought she was great. I thought Marcy Miller, and then Marcy Miller just kind of stood there looking like a ghost, which was kind of—it was a hallucination. So I thought it was good. Then, Lord, she done run. She ran down Gwen on Old Decatur Road outside that hospital.
If that road is named Old Decatur, I'll be like, bitch.
I just thought, I want somebody to slip that in. I wanted her to pass the sign that said Old Decatur.
They ain't gonna do it. I wish they did.
What did you think of Nancy going to Clyde and being like, was I going to be your next victim? Why would he admit that if she was?
He wouldn't, but
he doesn't
have
anything to lose, so why would he not? Like, calm your puss down. I felt like, you know, a lot of people have been tripping about Clyde and Nancy. I was like, ooh. Like, I did have a moment where I was like, ooh. But, you know, people, when they get tunnel vision, they miss pertinent information.
Yep.
You know, everybody was just all, I can't believe that. And they got Nancy with him. And that's so bad. They broke it down in dialogue when I'm about to call her Adrian. When Bonnie. When her makeover and stuff. When she, you know, Clyde, this is the woman's standpoint of things. I'm giving a woman's view of this because some men who watch these shows don't get it. And it's like, let the women tell you why. I'm speaking from a woman's point of view. Nancy lost, like,
yep.
She lost a huge part of her. Craig was like a big chunk of her identity. You know, I wasn't back in the day. Didn't they say that Craig was like her first? Like, they were kind of like high school sweethearts.
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, she had Chloe like early on in age, and her father was this prominent doctor and was like, I know you ain't spread your legs to this nobody, and I am Mr. Man at this. Oh, you know, that's why Chloe left, and then they brought Chloe back in as Ghoul Girl. So Craig and Nancy have been through it all. Imagine hearing that your man leaving you. Now see, like I said, it's a, you know, Bonnie and her talked about this. Like, this was a huge bruise to her ego and self-esteem. So Clyde coming there, you know, just charming and whining and dining her. Nancy needed that ego boost. Like, you know, when you get that ego boost, you don't want to hear nothing. So bring it back here, kind of, you know, bring it to this point. It was really good to see Nancy just getting out all those emotions and just talking to Bonnie about life and how she, you know, how disappointed she was and how she's such a fool. I'm like, again, Craig was a huge part of her life. So, you know, when the first person that comes your way that eyes you and just tells you all the things you want to hear, you do some stupid shit. So, but I mean, I liked how it was played. It's, you know, it was well done, in my opinion. I like it.
I agree with you. I like Nancy was ripe for a reckless decision.
Yes.
And this is why this makes sense to me. And even the desperation, you got a little bit of that Nancy fire when she was at the City Hall. Hello, new set, City Hall. And she went after all of them and was like, stop it. And you could just see the fire in her eyes. She was not going to let go of that until she had every bit of evidence and that kind of stuff. I like that she went to Clyde. I think that she's like, I just need to figure out just how vulnerable I was. Right. Was I so vulnerable I was about to get myself killed?
Exactly.
So, and y'all, I'm not going to tell what happens, but there's a spoiler. There's something very interesting that happened.
Again,
next
we don't
week.
Know when he putting this up, so when the spoiler.
Okay. Nancy and Mike Horton have a very interesting conversation next week.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Mike's return impacts things. I'm very curious about that. I haven't seen him in a while. Lots of history to play on. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. Speaking of people who've returned, haven't seen in a while, Rex is back. He thinks he has a cure for Kate, Marlena, and I was going to call her Catherine Bell.
Kayla.
What did you guys think of how that played out this week?
We forget that Rex is a genius. Like, Rex was always a genius. And so the idea that he could
maybe not in love, but in other areas.
Absolutely. I mean, when he and Mimi were first together and it was Eric Winter playing the role, he was a genius. And there was always a conversation about that with Mimi and that kind of thing. So him coming in and being able to put things together makes sense to me. I like the little wink, wink, nod, nod that between Roman and Kate and Rex when he said, oh, yeah, Dr. Rolf has engineered a bunch of things, most twins, because Dr. Rolf kind of created Rex and Cassie.
See, this was one of the things. Remember I said Goose's, like, it never happened. That should have been stuck
Rex and there, Cassie but, never happened. Yes,
but, you know, Ron said, not on my watch.
Not on my watch. Because while other shows that we've discussed are changing their history to write stories, we're referencing an entire 25 years where Roman was poisoned by this toxin. And by the way, as a side note, if you all have not watched the promo, go to DC and watch the promo, because not only have we, again, the money is flowing because those promos are better. They said the word asshat in the promo.
Yes.
It was just so good. But it all relates to really? Rex and Orpheus. But I like the juxtaposition of Kristen and Dr. Rolf talking about the orchid with Rex at the hospital, realizing the records are together, and that Kristen, I think, is clearly going to use that orchid to get back into Rachel's life and save Marlena's life. I kind of think that's maybe where we're going.
Jillian, what did you think?
That's some good tea there. They're delving into history. But like I said, certain things you should be like it now.
Wait. You cut out again. You need to be with certain things that never happened.
Certain things should be it never happened. I always thought Rex and Cassie should have stayed there, but Ron said, mm-mm. I'm just like, damn. You know, again, delving into history. So this is some good stuff. And Kristen is the mastermind behind it all. You know, she's not as lethal as Stefano, but like we said last time I was on the podcast, she's pulling Stefano maneuvers. So when everybody crows, EJ should be Stefano. We don't need EJ. Does not have to be Stefano. You know, I don't mind a female in that family being cutthroat. In the words of Little Kim, queen bitch, supreme bitch. I don't mind her being that person. You know, why do men got to be it? So fuck
see,
that.
I just think that from a standpoint of EJ this last week, I thought it would have been really shocking if he would have just put a bullet between Clyde's eyes after having shot him in the back. Like, that would have been badass. And I could have been
it would have been
that.
Badass, but then we would have had to have dealt with EJ being arrested.
Right.
Two and bullets.
Then, you know, yeah. So I don't care. He you know, he just no. And it's the Damara way to make you suffer. That's the like two bullets. That's the easy way out. Yeah, that's my take on it. That's an easy death.
I thought that whole scene was good. Those scenes were good.
After all the shit that Clyde did, starting with EJ went through all that suffering because of Clyde. He lost out on valuable time and years with his kids. If you really sit and think about it, Clyde is the reason why he.
Oh yeah,
Sammy. So easy death. No, they're making him suffer. That's the Damara way. So I had no problem with that.
And they're mining, and they use history again, really, just really fast. That they had Chad and somebody else I can't remember confront Clyde about Ben and about Jordan. When they showed the flashback of Abigail with Clyde. He said, you drove my son crazy. You passed that boy off, that child off as his. And she turned around and said, you switched the paternity test. I'm like, this is good. This is good. This is history.
And right. And it's kind of like threat. Ironic, you know, Clyde had EJ shot like a dog in the park.
And the little twist that he was really going after Belle.
You know, what better way? EJ did the same. EJ paid him back tenfold. Yep. You did this to me in the park, I'm going to do this to you in the park. So
I want to circle back to one thing before we switch to General Hospital, just to get your take on it. The thing that Josh mentioned, Jennifer Rose, but what
Jennifer.
I know it's Jennifer, but one of the things that I thought was interesting about that, yes, Katie McClain did a great acting job, and you guys know, listeners know that I'm not a big Jack fan, but I really enjoyed the Jack Jennifer scenes.
Did hell freeze over?
I know, right? Right. For once, he's not eating every scene or set on the show.
Oh Lord!
It did get a little chilly in New York, for real, temperature wise. So,
but like, I thought that the Jack and Jennifer scenes where he was confronting her about it and then had the realization about Gwen being hit was really good. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, see, this is why I defend. I'm about to call him Matt Devereaux. Jesus. This is why I defend Matt Ashford. Matt Ashford is a badass actor. You know, he can ham it up sometimes. Sorry, man. I tried. But this also shows you give him, you know, I wouldn't say give him the material because, again, you know, that's, you know, Kim Zimmer told us that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
But, you know, he can rein it in when necessary. And this was good shit. I think that they have some good scenes to play off of and more to come, in my opinion, with this whole storyline.
Oh, yeah. And it does appear, I mean, I don't know anything about contracts, but it does appear that Katie is in for the long run. Like, she's going to go to rehab here in a little bit, but she's going to come back.
Jennifer, but yeah. And for Gwen, after all the shit that Gwen has done to that family, for Gwen to be the one like, yo, she on that stuff, you need to go help
well,
her.
Well, and that's what was big. That was what was interesting about it, because what I was thinking about as I was watching it is Gwen sitting there, she's not sure who necessarily hits her at first. Whether or not she remembers it's Jennifer, my first thought was, would anybody actually believe it was Jennifer if she were to make the accusation public? But then but then we cut to Jack having the realization himself without Gwen having made the accusation. And I was like, oh, this is adding a dynamic. We're not going down the she said mm-mm. path. We're no, going down the Jack is realizing it for himself. And yep. I really liked that.
I do too.
It's the dynamic of Jack knows, but what does he do with it? Does he turn Jennifer in, fucking up his marriage, or does he do right by the surviving daughter that he has?
Well, and I think based on Jack's previous history, he's going to try and find something in the middle, because that's what he always seems to do.
There's a twist, and I won't reveal it, but there's a twist coming with this next week that you're really going to like. It's really like it turns
Jillian's
in a way
going
that,
to like, or I'm going to
both
like.
Of you, I think, oh, okay. will like, because it turns in a way that isn't quite what you expect. And so I think people will like it.
Wait, Days was enjoyable. I just need them to ease off on Dr. Rolf doing everything and serums and mask on, mask off. I'm like, ooh, I want to beat you with a mask.
I need them to ease off on Kristen, attorney at law.
I agree with that too.
Let's talk about General Hospital. On last week's episode, the cliffhanger from Friday was Diane being attacked. She survived, Josh. She didn't die as you were like.
I really thought she was going to die.
I didn't think that they were. There was no way that she was going to die. But we've got another victim of the hooker killer. What are you guys thinking of how that story's playing out?
Yeah. Hooks in me. Child, that song ran through my mind. I'm going to play that to OJ. Oh, they need to buy. They need to get the rights to, you know, they need to pay that license. Pay that shit. That would be so dope. But anyway.
I thought.
The hooker.
Hook story. Yeah, the hook.
I'm sorry, Jillian. If you're talking, I can't hear you. I apologize.
No. Go ahead. I was like, the hook killer.
Oh.
We're calling it the hooker for humor purposes.
You can call it the hooker. I'm calling it the hook killer.
The hook killer. Okay, here's the thing. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. I am less invested in the hooker than I am the waves that are coming off of it, the stories that are coming off of it. I will say this. I am almost – like, this is going to come out of nowhere maybe, but I think it's Rory. And
But Rory, wasn't Rory with – wasn't he with – all of a sudden I can't – Carly 2.0 during the Diane's attack?
No, he was with, well, he
because
was,
they were throwing axes.
They were throwing axes, but that was when she was taken to the hospital. She had been at the hospital for a while, and they had just gotten there. And he threw that axe so precisely, and none of the other ones could get theirs to stick. And then they kind of played with the camera a little bit when he was called and asked to come watch her. Either they're throwing him up as a red herring or something, but I kind of thought maybe it's him because he's expendable. And
didn't they say something about a woman, though?
They did. Diane thinks it's a woman.
Well, the thing is that in any serial killer storyline, we're going to be told a bunch of stuff, but as just how the story plays out to make us believe in red herring. So if it's a woman, it's a man. The fun of a serial killer storyline is trying to figure it out for yourself and whether or not you'll be right.
I'm leaning to the woman aspect because everybody's like, oh, the person was tall who did it. I'm like, everybody thinks the person was tall because Brando was on the floor. When someone's standing over you and you sprawled out on the floor, of course they're towering over you because you're on the ground. And they had a big trench coat on. So,
well, as
I think it's a woman, and it will be a good one too, because it's always a man as the serial killer.
You go to Days, right? Jillian, one of the things that I speculated with Josh about last week, and I was like, wouldn't it sort of be fun if Jordan was the hooker killer?
Girl, bye.
That would be. She's very tall.
Again, when you're on the floor. When somebody's standing over you, you look tall. Fucking Spuds McKenzie could look taller than you if they just over you and you on the floor. Like, that doesn't, no. Jordan, please. Like, no. Jordan needs to stay out of people's business. That storyline is really pissing me off. I really do wish, and I doubt Chris and Dan and Chris will go there. I wish that they go and do the DNA test and you find out that Taggart is
that
child's father and it was all for nothing and that Jordan blew up Portia's life and and Curtis is all, well, like, she could have been in the lab. I rather that than fucking up this child's.
I agree with you. I agree with you. That being said, Trina and Ava this week.
Very good.
Just put them in a room together, and I'm just there. It's gold. I'm sold. I want more of it. I want all of it.
See who that child working with? She working with Kanye.
She is learning from the best.
Yes.
She's working with Kanye Singh cousin.
But for me, the highlight of General Hospital this last week though was Nicholas providing the videotaped confession that he killed Esme. As a way to get back in Ava's good graces. And at the end, when he basically is like, it's not now, but it's going to be in the future just based on their dynamic and what she had said to him. Like, this is the Nick and Ava that I love. I don't understand quite why Chris and Dan seem to be able to write Nick and Ava's relationship so well when a number of other couple dynamics like this stuff with Brooklyn and Chase and various other couples aren't written very well. But for some reason, they seem to get the pull and push and tug of war of a dynamic.
War of the Roses.
Right. Yeah. They seem to get this really well with this one couple. But I would love it if they did it with more couples because
that
I don't...
Nick and Ava were
my highlights this last
Nicholas
week.
Nicholas and Ava, okay. My highlight was actually Sonny letting Michael know you can't have the grave.
Fuck around and find out.
Yes, when Michael came demanding, he was like, you wanted me out of your life. I am. So now you want to be back in? You can't have it both ways. I loved it. And him doing the same thing with you know, Jocelyn, as I call her, Caroline, Jocelyn. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't demand Sunny get away, Tutui, but you have to tell me. And the fact that Michael has put this all in motion, I was hoping that Dex would have cracked. I really do. You know what I want as a spoiler, like a shocker? I would love for Sunny to know for a while that Dex has been working with Michael and he's dirtied them both up. And he tells Michael, you in the big leagues now. You think you big bad. You want to play good Quartermain, and I'm the bad coffee, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, coffee importer. Your hands are just as dirty.
Would that make Michael a Bigums?
And like I said,
I'm trying to...
I just love that dynamic that Sunny just dropped the hammer on him and was like, no, you can't. Once you out, you out. Like, you can't come tiptoeing in here. And Jocelyn, too. Like, I was glad that he told Joss. Like, I want that. I want that.
So,
I really do.
I had a really weird thought about Dex this last week, just watching the show. What if... And this is maybe because I'm so not enthused with the Cody storyline from the Cody element.
Boy,
but what if
that car in the driveway or get off the cul-de-sac, circle it.
But what if Dex was Mac's son and not Cody?
I would be fine with it, although his age is not. I think he's too young.
And also, Mac and Dominique, old school GH fans, know this.
Redcon.
So no. Whatever. No. You know. I
thought it would be very interesting if Mac all of a sudden had a son who was working for the mob and Mac being a police officer. To me, that's more of an long-term intriguing potential than whatever's going on with Cody.
And it would be funny because they, you know, they gave you a little bit of history about Mac when people were like, Mac was on the run. Even under Guza, they would never delve into that, which was Mac used to be a cutthroat mercenary. Mac used to be badass.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would tap into that a little bit so people could realize Mac is Joe Law, but when push comes to shove, he'll fuck a bitch up. So,
and they don't play that. They like to play him as Grandpa Mac.
I wish they would have done that when fucking Heinrich Maneuver was on. I really wish they had done that. You know, yes, they gave Felicia her quote unquote redemption, because according to Dan O'Connor, she's all about family. I'm like, Georgie would beg to differ.
Since when?
I'm like, what story are you watching, child? I'm like, Maxie and Georgie have stepped into the room. Georgie's ghost is like, bitch, where?
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, that should have been Mac. That really should have been Mac. But so, I guess they wanted the ladies to kill. He better be dead.
From a purely like, ooh, bad boy hot standpoint, I hope whenever Spencer gets out of prison, he is not as like polished as
he
was before. Because boy, did he look good in prison. What did you guys think of Spencer and his uncle?
I like him dirtied up a little bit like that. I agree with you. I like him not so put together. And I like this, like, he just sort of is done. You can just see that look on his face. I love the look on his face. I just think Nicolas Chavez can do no wrong. He's just great.
Yeah, Spencer is getting, like, Spencer has been so sheltered. He's getting a crash course into reality now. Like, you know, you have people looking out for you, but they can only go so far. Like, he has to figure it out himself. And, you know, I like it. I like it.
I do too.
Spencer needs a little reality check, and he's getting that. And I love the fact that he brought up, because when Rory was like, I'll have my friends look after you too, I'm like, ooh, you just put a bullseye on that.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, he said his cop friend, I was like, see, Trina should find out and cuss him out. But
what I also think is interesting about it is, if I look at previous, like, scions who end up in prison, when it was Nick on The Young and the Restless, when it was Michael on General Hospital, both of them came out of prison, had a little bit of post-trauma from being in prison, but it didn't fundamentally change the characters as to who they are. What I think is it has potential with Spencer is the fact that because he's a Cassadine, because he's pulled some stuff and his great-grandmother loved him, I think that there's a potential for him to come out of prison, depending on how they write this story, and have it be something that transforms him into a little bit darker of a Cassadine, which I would be here for if they were going to develop it and have, how do I put this? With Nicholas, he's been written out of character on General Hospital for a very long time. And what has, under this regime, what they've tried to do is make it look like he's always battled this darkness that's in him, where that hasn't been quite his arc. They haven't, right. They haven't quite written it that way, but Spencer is a character who has struggled with doing his darkness and his Cassadine. Even as a child, he did some things that were that way. So I think that you could tell a storyline in which you have a prince struggling with his dark and good sides and have that be a really good, like, long-term arc for Spencer. And I think that there's the potential if they'll only follow it.
I think they put, but see, you don't see it. I really don't think you see it, but they've started that thread way when he met Trina and when she found out who he was from when he did the fake blood on her and breaking into the art gallery, her finding out he is Spencer Cassadine and her finding out he was the one that was stalking Ava. You have that threadway where he's dark. Esme encourages his dark impulses and makes him lean into a Cassadine. Whereas Trina, she is the one who was like, you are better than this. You're not your father. You're not your family. You're you. You can define your own destiny and you can be a good person. They've started that threadway. I think after prison, I think they may still play upon that. I don't know anything, but I've always felt like, based on how they played it, Trina is the good person who sees the good, who sees the potential, and she says it to him. Esme is just like the one that encourages his impulses and is like, you're a Cassadine. And then you have Victor, you're a Cassadine, act like it. So I kind of see that they're doing that there. If they will keep it and then finally show Spencer more battling with that, who knows?
Final thoughts, Josh.
Two quick final thoughts. One, Valentine and Anna, I don't love them as a couple, but they had a great sex scene.
In a bed! You know, they're like,
I know.
Couches on these homes.
One of my favorite things that we didn't talk about from Days this week was sort of random. It was Chloe and Stefan. I loved Stefan going over there and romancing her. And then when he left, he went back and talked to Stefano's portrait and was like, I'm just like you, father. Whatever I want, I get. And what I want is Chloe Lane. I thought, okay, Brandon Barash turned it back from Jake to Stefan just that quickly. And really bringing it. Like, I Stefan never left. I remember how magical Stefan and Gabby were. I want them to take us on a long journey. But when we get them back, we will remember that Stefan and Gabby were a super couple.
And I can totally see a soap cover in which it's Chloe, Gabby, and Stefan.
Yes.
I can see that.
I just want them to just stop the brain fucking shit and just have him and, you know, get rid of the brain thing. Like, let him get all his faculties back. And he's just like, I'm in love with two women or something.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm over that shit.
Jillian, final thought?
My final thought is Chris and Dan, you know, they're not like Dan and Chris. Y'all ain't like Days where you can just be like, oh, we wrote it 12 years and filmed it 14 years in advance. So you can switch it. If y'all are going to go there with Trina being Curtis's, stop, because again, all you're doing is stealing from your old history with Jordan, TJ, and Sean. And then with Y&R, I mean, I hope y'all don't fuck around with Trevor St. John on y'all got a find on there. Y'all better use him. Y'all best make him a powerhouse to come and take down Victor and Jack's ass. Well, Jack's too busy crying, but yeah, like he needs to
I still wish back in the day when Valentine Cassadine had not yet been cast, I had wished that Trevor St. John would have been Valentine because that would have been amazing. My final thought is, most people know I'm not a big fan of like Patch and Kayla and their children. And last time Stephanie was on as a character back like a few years ago, wasn't a huge fan of Stephanie, but I'm really liking this actress in the role of Stephanie. I think that she's doing a good job. I think that she has great chemistry with the actors whose scenes she's sharing. And considering this is a character that I haven't liked in the past, I figured I'd give a shout out to her.
Yeah. She's doing a good job. I like her.
Kayla, those scenes. Oh, with Kayla, yes. That was just wonderful.
But she told Patch about his ass for not.
Right. Like, and that's the thing. Like, Patch annoys me. So the fact that she just ripped into her dad, I was there for it. Maybe it's the fact that she has such great chemistry with her parental characters.
She really does.
I'm just enjoying it. On that note,
Scott Wilson and Billy Flynn.
Yes.
She just has chemistry with everybody.
She's a good fun.
Yes, she was. I sometimes wonder
who's
if Days
that
of Our
casting director. Over now?
That's just what I was gonna say.
Is it
I feel like
Saida? Yes, Marty Saida. Marty Saida. She's the one.
And
young Victoria Grace is gonna come on as Wendy Shin this next week. She was great in Beyond Salem too. I think that. Yeah, they're doing some good casting over at Dave.
It used to be back in the day that General Hospital had the really good casting team, but things have sort of gone off the rails over there in recent years. But Days of Our Lives for about the past 4 years has really improved.
Do Mark Teshner like that. Now I'm going to defend Mark Teshner. You ain't going to do him like that. Now, I kept calling him Kobe because there's an actor named Kobe Bell. And he black, so he should be like, bitch, what? Cody was not a Mark Teshner thing. You done heard the man say in the interviews, I was watching GH one day and I texted Frank and was like, why aren't I on here? And Frank was like,
I didn't say him specifically. All I'm saying is, but what I'm saying is, Chase, Brando, Sasha, like Willow, like all this motley crew of people who've come on, like all of those. I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like for me, the casting at General Hospital in the last 5 years or so has gone downhill. And that, regardless of who's putting him on the screen, in my opinion, it's gone downhill. At Days of Our Lives, it's improved.
Nicholas Chavez. Sydney Michaela, get out of here.
On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bow, and Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye, y'all.
Is this Jordan?